Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic are with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. And Gentry, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you with us. So, Gentry, we've got a lot that happened yesterday in the world of sports. Let's start with the Harold Landry contract. 5 years, $87.5 million, 52.5 guaranteed for Harold Landry in the new contract. What do you think of the deal itself, and what do you think of the cap hit for the Titans next year that's reported to be somewhere around $5 million?
Yeah, I think that's the big key to this. When you see that they – didn't tag him, that was the right thing to do to kind of space it out. Very much a, you know, we're interested in winning now kind of move. And I don't think that would really surprise anyone that the Titans are approaching this offseason very much that way. But in Landry's case, I think there was maybe some uncertainty about how this would go just because of how much money he was wanting. And the fact that the Titans obviously signed Bud Dupree to what they did last year. So I think this is a, I think this is a move that a lot of guys on the team felt like is deserved. You know, Landry's a hard worker for years, a guy who you always look, he's always playing a ton of snaps in games. And even in some of the bad days for this defense, he was very reliable. And I think this was a, this is probably a popular move on that team to see a guy get that kind of money who's worked to earn it.
Do you think it was the right move, Gentry? And what does it tell you about what's coming, do you think, the dominoes to fall from here?
Yeah, it's a good question, at least from the standpoint defensively, because, look, when you're spending that much money, the structure is great. But I think the obvious question is, okay, well, since you did this, what can you not do? Who can you not keep? Can you not keep a Zach Cunningham or someone like that who would be really valuable defensively? What does this mean for Bud Dupree on the offensive side of the ball? Obviously, there's the offensive line is going to be very much in play, I think, here. And I think that, you know, in any offseason, there's always that give and take. And I think with Landry, the Titans just had to decide, was last year's breakout a result of Landry's own improvement and a guy who's really about to take that next step to being a star who's worth that kind of money, or was it a result of the pieces they added around Harold Landry? And I think it was probably a little bit of both. It wasn't an easy decision, but clearly they, I think the Titans are a team that has lived through a terrible pass rush and has no interest in going back there.
Gentry, what did you make of Russell Wilson to the Broncos yesterday? The Broncos giving up Drew Lock, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, two first rounders, two second rounders, and a fifth rounder to acquire the services of Russell Wilson. What did you think of the deal, the price, and how do you think this affects the Titans in what was already a pretty loaded AFC when it comes to the quarterback position?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think Russell Wilson, obviously he's an upgrade for Denver. It'll be interesting to see what they can do in a very difficult division. Yeah, the Titans are going to have to play all these teams. But I think that the Russell Wilson had an offense that was very much built in Seattle around what he could do for a long time. He was – had a lot of players around him that kind of fit that. I'm interested to see what happens now when he goes to Denver in an entirely different setup and a different kind of team. But, I mean, look, we've been conditioned to this in the NFL, right, where quarterbacks go to new teams and win Super Bowls. It's been happening now for a number of years. So, you know, if you're Denver, Denver's tried real hard to answer this quarterback question for a number of years now. So it's a good move for them in the short term, but Seattle got a lot back. They did.
Yeah, and of course, you know, if you're a Titans fan, I think some Titans fans were holding out hope, even as recently as yesterday, about a magical Hail Mary to, you know, change at quarterback. Although, realistically, that probably was never, you know, too strong a possibility, Gentry. But now that it's official, Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback. What do you think helps him most? Because, as you said earlier, you know, there's tough choices ahead. There's tough offensive line choices ahead. and there's a draft pick where you could say, hey, gotta go again with a young lineman and hope you hit big at some point on that, or gotta get him a speed receiver, you know, free agency maybe, gotta get him a tight end. Like in terms of being great around him, which is a phrase I think we're all gonna like use so often in the next few months. What's your plan for that?
I think you mentioned tight end. I think that's a must this offseason to get better there. Receiver too, get a little deeper. I think what helps Tannehill more than anything from what I've seen is having A.J. Brown on the field. For as much as everybody, you know, look, losing Derrick Henry changed the Titans' season last year, no question. But I think when you look back at how it all played out, I think not having A.J. Brown was probably more costly than not having Derrick Henry. And I think you see Tannehill's performance got better when he had better receivers on the field. I don't think that's you know, the too surprising. But I also think from a pass protection standpoint, that could work to improve. These are things that the Titans regressed at a little bit this year, and I think a lot of it ended up coming down on Tannehill, and it's going to continue to come down on Tannehill because of how that playoff game went, right? I mean, of course. But, yeah, there is some work on that side of the ball. If you're having to replace some very good offensive linemen on that group, very experienced, very seasoned group who's used to playing together, that's a tricky thing to have to do. And that was why I was never totally sure on what to expect with Landry, because the Titans to this point have very much valued the offensive line in terms of how they spent their resources. And I'm interested to see how they're going to be able to continue to do that moving forward.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gentry, switching gears to the Predators, they get a big win last night against the Stars. They now move ahead of the Stars in the standings. What do you think of the way that the team has played as of late, and what do you think of their chances to get in the playoffs coming down the stretch here, and what's going to be a pretty tight race in the Western Conference?
Well, I think they're a lot better today than I did yesterday. That was a big win last night, wasn't it, Rob? Oh, yeah. Robbie, would you venture to say, I'm not sure there was a win this season, the way they got it, that was more significant than that?
It's the biggest one, I think, of the season. I mean, you could put the Florida one up there with the comeback win and all that stuff and the quality opponent, but that was clutch last night from the Predators, no question about it.
Yeah, and who it came against. And they have proven repeatedly this season to be that kind of team, that they can overcome adversity. There's a toughness aspect to them. And when I'm watching that game last night, that looked to me a lot like how playoff games are going to look. And how if the Predators are able to make a run, that's what it's going to look like. They're going to get a lot of games like that. And I, you know, they're able, that was just, they can show their toughness, and that is something that has been different about this team versus previous Preds teams all season. I've liked that about them, not just physical toughness, but mental toughness to hang in there and get a game like last night. I thought it was huge for them.
All right, we got to switch to hoops then real fast here, Gentry. Are you buying Tennessee? Are you buying Tennessee as a team that declare them your national champion now, Gentry? But seriously, do you think that this team has the right makeup to be playing for a long time this month?
Do I think they have the right makeup? Yes. I think they have the kind of team that can do it. I thought they had the kind of team that could be scary in that tournament last year too, and they didn't show up in the first round. So I want to see it. I need to see it from Tennessee and the NCAAs to believe that they can make a deep run and play confidently in those big moments. Now, the last month or so has been unbelievably encouraging on that front. I'd say going into the conference tournament, there's no one playing better than Tennessee right now. And so when you're talking about a team that is peaking at the right time like you need to, yeah, it's them. But I remember, Joe, last year, Tennessee playing very well in the SEC tournament and going into the NCAA tournament and not playing well. So I'm interested to see it, but I can't help but be skeptical, because Tennessee has kind of proven over the course of the year they're a team that can beat anybody and lose to anybody based on how they're able to score offensively.
Yep, and not going to be playing at Thompson Bowling Arena anymore either, which is a big deal as right. Well. Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Gentry, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Everybody. Gentry Estes, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll come back. We'll react to what Gentry had to say there. Reset what was a wild day in sports yesterday, especially here locally. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio as well here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. By the way, looks like some breaking news on the Titans front yet again. Field Yates reporting that the Titans have signed Tyre Tarte to a one-year extension through 2022, per source. He started 10 games this past year, was set to be an exclusive rights free agent. So according to Field Yates, the Titans have signed Tyre Tarte to a one-year extension as well. So J-Rob making all the moves on the defensive front, Joe Rexroad.
We talked about Tyre Tarte earlier on the show, by the way.
We did.
When you look at what this defense could be now next year, Tarte, Naquan Jones in there is nice depth. Laurel Murchison too, but Simmons, Autry, you know, if you keep Cunningham, and I still think that's an if. I know what's been said, but I think there's an if there. But if you have Cunningham and Long, you have those safeties back, pretty good safeties. And of course, you know, Fulton, Molden his second year. One really good corner away from, a defense that I think could be special. It could be special anyway, but don't want a weak link at corner.
You don't want a weak link at corner, and a lot going to be riding on Caleb Farley's shoes for that, for sure. So we'll see what happens on that front. Quite the day yesterday for the Harold Landry front. No tag, so the tag deadline comes and goes yesterday. It's at 3 o'clock, and I'm thinking to myself, okay. So does this mean that they're close to a deal with Harold Landry, or does this mean that they're so far apart that he's just going to be a free agent and they don't want to risk having that massive cap hit by tagging him? And a few hours later, here they are. Harold Landry signs a 5-year, $87.5 million contract with the Titans, 52 and a half of which is guaranteed. They've worked the cap hit. I saw this from Paul Kaharsky and Jared Stillman, a little bit more than $5 million. I think Jared had the cap hit at $5.05 million, according to his sources. So obviously a lot of savings there next year on the cap front. That's $13 million if you're going strictly from the franchise tag number to what the cap hit will be from Harold Landry next year. Actually, a little bit more than $13 million. Joe, what did you make of the deal? What did you make of the day as a whole for Harold Landry? And what do you think of the number that he ends up with? 87 and a half, but really the guaranteed money, the big thing, $52.5 million for Harold Landry.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of guaranteed money. It's a big investment, and I – understand a Titans fan looking at it and saying, man, you know, he didn't look like a great pass rusher until you had Autry in there with Simmons. Simmons taking his game to another level as a player, which I think we would all agree he did last year. You know, Bud Dupree occupies at least some attention on the other side. Like, so this is his breakout year. It's his contract year. All these things around him are there. Is he really that good? And I would say to that, that you can't underrate, you know, what it means to have a guy who's always there, who's an all-around good football player. I understand that the sack number is always going to be critical. You know, the funny thing about Landry is he had the 12 sacks, but if you want to go into the pass rush win rate and all that stuff, he was not elite in some of those, you know, analytics numbers. But the guy plays his guts out, is on the field every snap, is good against the run, and makes plays. And look, this is what happens. When you have a year like that and the timing is right, you're going to go out there and you're going to get paid. The fact that they were able to do this, not risk having to pay him the tag number, get that number low for next year so they can do more stuff, I think it was the clear right choice. And I thought so before they did this. So you just, if you are great at something, stay great at it. And they all of a sudden became great at rushing the quarterback last year, which is still amazing to say. So it could be better next year now. with Landry and Dupree not coming off a rehab knee offseason, coming off a regular offseason. That could be special. And if look, let's go through some recent Super Bowl winners and pass rush being the best thing they had going for them, including 2 years ago, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The best thing they had going for them. I am not ripping Tom Brady.
Man, he's been retired for a month and just getting after it. Good gracious.
He was great, too. He was shockingly great to me that year. But go back and watch that run. I mean, they couldn't be blocked. Yeah, you know. They could not be blocked. The Giants beat Brady twice. I'm not trying to keep bringing Brady good up. Good gracious. Here, okay? But again, but how did those – it wasn't because Eli Manning just out-dueled Tom Brady, right? I mean, he made plays. But it's because they just terrorized him in those games. And the pass rush was elite for those teams. A lot, not much else was.
Well, to that point, I think it's a really big deal getting Harold Landry back. I mean, look, we've talked about the quarterback position for the entire offseason at this point. We both felt very strongly that Ryan Tannehill was going to be the guy. Now I think it's pretty clear that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the guy with Aaron Rodgers going back to the Packers, Russell Wilson going to the Broncos. And with that, we talked about the schedule earlier. I mean, you're going to play Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, all these guys next year you're going to play. It would be great to not let them sit back in the pocket and just pick out where they're going to throw the ball every play. Like, you've got to find a way to get after the quarterback. And, you know, I'm not saying if they didn't bring Harold Landry back that their pass rush would just be anemic. Like, you still have Simmons and Autry and Bud Dupree, and I think they still could have had a good pass rush. Maybe, you know, maybe they draft somebody or Rashad Weaver comes in and fills that role. But knowing that Harold Landry is back and that you've got those four guys, to me, that's a really big deal. And I think there's potential for it to be even better next year. Now, you know, Autry's getting older. He's not getting any younger. So, you know, we see it happen fast in this league. Maybe that's a situation where what we saw last year was the best we're going to see from Danico Autry, and it's going to decline as you move forward. I think that's possible. I think Jeffrey Simmons is just now starting to really come into his own in the league. I'm encouraged by Bud Dupree and the way he closed out the year. I think the knee is healthy. So I think if Bud Dupree can stay healthy this offseason, hopefully you're picking up where you left off on that front. And look, I don't know if Harold Landry is ever going to get 12 sacks again. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But if he can be anywhere near as disruptive as he was this past season on a consistent basis, this Titans pass rush is going to be really, really good. And with the schedule that you have, you need a pass rush to be great. And I think that the ingredients are there for their pass rush to be great. And that gives you a chance on that side of the ball.
I agree. So let's the way I look at this team now, let's say Cunningham is a back. And so now you are also, I mean, you're terrific inside. You know, you got David Long all over the place making plays. Cunningham, such a forceful, violent run stopper in there. You're going to stop the run. You're going to get up the passer. I mean, look, Rashad Weaver, I think this is big for him in terms of, you know, there's not a huge amount of pressure on him, but I think he could really be a nice third guy. And he's versatile too. I mean, he's very physical at the point of attack. He can set the edge. I really like his upside as a player. So let's take that team, say that that Caleb Farley comes in and is like next year's Christian Fulton. If that's all in place, what can you realistically do with the offense? Like if you're a Titans fan, do you get excited about a team that might have a great defense? I mean, I think that everything I just described could be great.
Yeah.
But then a team that, you know, has some youth and some real questions up front, you know, maybe has a little bit of an upgrade at tight end, but not, you know, like a middling tight end addition, and then a rookie receiver who will have a lot of hopes pinned on him. How good is that team? How far can that team go?
I still think they're pretty good. And, you know, a lot of this is too is Derrick Henry. Like, is Derrick Henry exactly back to normal? Like, if Derrick Henry's back to normal, the Titans are going to be really good next year. I mean, I have full confidence in saying that. Like, if Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry again and he can stay healthy, Titans are going to be good. I mean, they're going to be a playoff team. They're probably going to win the AFC South. They're probably going to finish with a pretty good record. Now, I will say, And again, I hate looking at the schedule this far out because we don't know what's going to happen and who's going to get hurt and all these things. Schedule's pretty tough for the Titans next year. So to me, they've got a tougher schedule. I know they finished, you know, number one in the division 2 years ago. I think they got a tougher schedule this next year than they did this past year, just based on the AFC West, and you're playing Green Bay again on the road. I mean, there's a tough schedule for the Titans, but I think they're going to be good if Derrick Henry can stay healthy. The question, again, is going to come down to they can be as good as they want to next year. When playoff time comes around, can the quarterback step up, and can he not turn the ball over? I mean, that's – we're going to get so tired of talking about that point because that's what it's going to be for the next year until they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. And we don't have time, but actually this brings me to something that made me think of the Vols and the Titans and Vols fans and Titans fans and something that they may have in common. Oh. I think that's called a teaser.
That is a teaser. Very well done. Very nicely done by Joe Rexroad. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let me joined by Preds forward Mikhail Granlund coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on a gigantic win for the Nashville Predators last night against the Stars. Charles Robinson joining us at 9:30 as well. So lots to come here today on the show. Joe, you had a nice tease before the break. That may have been the best tease that you've ever done. What a professional you are. It's unbelievable.
Brilliant, right? Jared, eat your heart out on that tease, buddy.
So did you mean by that?
Yeah, so basically, as I'm sitting here, of course, you know, getting ready for the SEC tournament, very excited about that this week. As Gentry has said earlier, I mean, the Vols are playing as well as anybody in this league. And I feel like, you know, think about a year ago. Think about that loss to Oregon State. Now, I actually disagree with Gentry. He's right that they played pretty well in the SEC tournament. They beat Florida, and they should have beat Alabama. And Alabama, of course, was great last year. So they did play well. So you had a little bit of, okay, maybe they – but, you know, they also lost Fulkerson. I mean, but they didn't, they were a win-loss team really all year. And they didn't have the right pieces. This year they have, I think, a much better team, and I think they have a much better fitting team. But the reason that I think of Titans fans when I think of Vols fans right now, and of course there are plenty of people who fall into both categories, I think even with that season in the last couple seasons and that first round loss and all that it brought up, and I mean that's what I wrote about last year here, let's review Rick Barnes in March. You know, I mean it's gonna come up. There's a big contrast, you know, regular season and postseason with his coaching tenure. But even with all that, I think right now there's a lot of excitement for Vols fans, and I think there should be. Now, is it tempered with some skepticism, as Gentry said? Yes, but you watch a team do what they have done over and over again, and you start to really feel like, okay, this could be something. So, and the reason I bring that up related to the Titans is, one, you're absolutely right. Like, whenever if they're in the playoffs before that first game, it'll all be, okay, show it, show us, Tannehill. Yeah. But if he plays well all next year and they're better and they're really good and week after week you see him perform, them perform, you know, like that's still going to influence how you think about the postseason. There's still going to be that underlying skepticism, no doubt about it. And there should be. But it's just, I look at Vols fans now embracing this team. And I promise you, if you went back a year ago and you just fast forwarded to now, all those people would say, whatever. They're not going to get done. But you watch a team perform like this over and over again, and it should be repeatable stuff, you know, and that's what I'm saying. So next year, if it's a very good regular season for the Titans, you're still going to feel a lot better about them in the postseason than you do right now.
Sure. Well, and I think now that the Rodgers stuff is officially behind you and the Russell Wilson stuff is officially behind you and you know that Tannehill is going to be your quarterback next year, I think we might move off of the he's the worst quarterback to ever pick up a football and throw it talk that some people have talked about. Like,
yeah,
he's still pretty good. He's just may not be good enough to win in the playoffs. And look, I'm not saying that that's not a problem, because it is. Like, you've reached the point with this team where you need to be able to capitalize on this window. Like, rosters like this, and especially pass rushes like this, running backs like this, you can go up and down the list of things that the Titans have. They don't come around all that often. And, you know, roster-wise, I think the Titans match up with just about anybody out there. Can the quarterback step up in key moments and get it done? I'm not saying that's not a problem and not a concern, because that at this point, that's a huge concern to me. But I also, I think as what typically happens in situations like this, some of us have gone a little too far maybe. Tannehill is not, he's not Marcus Mariota, all right? Like, the guy can still play. I have confidence that he's going to come out next year and he'll play well and they'll win games and they'll win the division and they'll get to the playoffs. So I think the mood from the Titans fan base on Tannehill, as it gets closer to the season, as the season goes on and he plays, and I think plays well enough to win in the regular season, maybe that changes a little bit from where it is right now as well until playoff time comes around.
Yeah. And you know, some people are, we're holding out hope. And I know Mike Florio pumped a little oxygen into that carcass for a little bit of time. And some people put a gas mask on and went, breathed it in for all it was worth.
Bunch of karma cleanse.
But I think most people would kind of come to the, you know, the day the season ended, you had to look at it and say any kind of move is a very remote possibility. There's a lot of teams out there right now that are wondering who their quarterback's going to be, and we're hoping also to be in those sweepstakes. And yeah, the Titans did make sense in some ways, you know, for Rodgers, I guess, in particular. But yeah, it's over time. It's like the Josh Heupel thing too. You know, your immediate instant reaction is, oh, that's the hire. And then, you know, but you get to camp like, ooh, this offense. Kind of, and then of course, actually it turned out pretty well for him. But you know, over time, you know, some of that stuff softens. Speaking of the quarterback front, did you see Aaron Wilson's report? Pro Football Network.
You talking about Sean Watson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that, if you're a Seahawks fan, is like, oh, okay, let's talk about this now. And the grand jury is going to hear evidence Friday. So things are moving on that front. And boy, the market for him through all this stuff is going to be robust. So if this is the Seahawks' big plan and it's not to blow everything up, then okay, well, maybe Seahawks fans are going to be kept engaged here.
Hey, you just got a lot of draft capital that you could use in a potential trade. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yep, you send it right back to somebody else, and you just, you know, basically you traded quarterbacks if you can make that happen.
Yeah, that's going to be fascinating. Maybe that's why. Maybe we just scooped us, you know. Maybe that's why Pete Carroll is hanging around. Because I was wondering about that. Like, is Drew Lock going to be your guy? Have fun with that, buddy.
Right. Like, why do you want to oversee what's to come if you are – yeah, if it's Drew Lock or Geno Smith in a big battle in August.
Get excited. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Henry texting in says, how do you think Titans fans will feel about Tannehill if he comes out next season and plays worse than he did this past season?
Well, that happens. Good.
They're not going to feel good. But also, like, if that happens, he's not going to be the quarterback the season after that. Like, they will – at that point, they will move on from him. I think, like – I think Tannehill's going to have to play pretty well next year for him to be the quarterback the following year. I could be wrong. I know they love him some Ryan Tannehill, but if he comes out and plays worse than he did this past season, like, to me, there's no question about it. He will not be the quarterback the following year.
Yeah, although that will still be painful. But, yeah, you know, you talk about the dead money this year, $57 million. You know, the cap number of 38.6. You go to 23, you know, that dead money drops to 18.8, you know, which still isn't great, you know, cut that in half post June 1st. But I mean, it would be painful. I think the best case scenario for the Titans is that he is really good and, you know, like wins the Super Bowl next year. And then they feel good about having him as their quarterback the next year. But it is possible. It's possible that they could decide to do that. And but to me, that, well, yeah, it's possible. There's such a wide range of what he could be next year still too, you know, and what they could be.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, the Titans and Vols have just as good a chance as anyone to get a ring, and as fans, that's all we can ask for. This is coming from Heidi from Dixon on the text line. Do you buy that? Titans and Vols basketball, just as good of a chance as anyone.
Such an optimist, Heidi. I love that optimism. I don't agree with you, but I like the optimism.
Yeah, I like the optimism as well. Don't stress me out, as Joe Rexo says.
Me out.
On the stream. Let's go back to the text line. Sean texting in says, Tannehill is fine. Yes, we could be better at quarterback, but having him under center does not mean that the coming season is over. ... Jared. This is coming from Sean on the text line. So I guess Jared yesterday was talking about how the Titans are just totally screwed next year.
Did he? Here's the thing. And I mean, I'm being totally serious with this. You know, yesterday was travel day, writing day, seeing family day. I didn't get to listen to Jared. I haven't been able to enjoy this. I did see some tweets though. And if the topics were actually what he typed up in his tweets, it's amazing.
Well,
the gift that keeps on giving.
I knew it was going to be a good day for him yesterday. Like when Aaron Rodgers was going back to the Packers, I think the tweet I saw from Jared was just, it just said darn. And it had one of those like sad face emojis. So I knew that alone would be good enough for the show. But when Russell Wilson got traded yesterday, I knew it was in for a special time on Stillman and Company. And he did not disappoint. It was good stuff.
I need the highlights, you know, like what was the best you could, if you could just isolate it to like one take or sentence from him, what would be the best?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I would say probably, I mean, he literally said that, I mean, the Titans, they have 0% chance to win next year. So he's already just throwing it out the door. He's done. He's given up. 2022, might as well not even play football for the Titans. So that was my favorite. But, you know, he did ask, like, if you're the Titans and you see the package that they gave up to go get Russell Wilson, should you have done that? What do you think, Rexo? Was the price too steep to go after Russell Wilson, given what the Broncos paid to Seattle? Pretty hefty price.
Yeah. I mean, again, the difference is that the Broncos didn't have a quarterback on the hook for $38 million cap hit, $57 million dead money. Right?
There's that.
So what do you do? I mean, I can't even get into this again. What were you doing with Tannehill? Because everybody wants Tannehill. Tannehill's the worst. They have no chance to win. Oh, all these other teams would love to have Tannehill. Of course, it'd be easy.
Well,
huh?
Trade into the Bucs. Look, if Bruce Arians thinks he can win with Blaine Gabbert, my God, what would he say about Ryan Tannehill?
You know, like fit him for his gold jacket right now, folks.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Also, some really good news in the world of sports yesterday as well. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill, Days Delta 8 and Wager. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app now to sign up and play. Brackets will open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 13th. So make sure that you visit our website for that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Going to be joined by Preds forward Mikhail Granlund coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on a big win last night for the Nashville Predators. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul texting in says, Stillman went over the entire season game by game and calculated 12 Titans losses next season. Paul on the text line. I did not hear that part, but I hope that's true.
Well, I got a text that he was offering up his tickets, encouraging others to sell them to opponents since there's no chance of winning the games. Okay, let me just go through the let me just go through again. I just couldn't listen. I get to do a little Jared versus Joe today, so the Tannehill I get ganged up on by the Tannehill tattletales. Okay, let me look at some of these tweets like previewing segments, because I saw one or two where I was like, whoa, really? Okay, let's see. Landry. There was one that was like, and I forget exactly how it was worded, but it was amazing. Our reporting was correct the entire time, and Aaron Rodgers, the Titans. I assume he's talking about the home purchase.
Yeah.
So the Titans have given up with Denver. Okay, can the Titans compete? Okay, that's all. No, these are all, you know, good questions. How disappointed should they be? Should the Titans have been in on Russell Wilson? But there's another. Yeah, there we go. This one, I love this. Should the Titans have been more open to moving on from Ryan Tannehill? Would that have gotten them in the mix? No, that's not what it is. Nah, all right, never mind. I thought, see, this is a good example of being careful on Twitter. I thought when I read that yesterday, I thought he was saying, should they have been more open, like, with their displeasure with Ryan Tannehill? That would have been an amazing take. Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's fine. That's fine the way that's phrased. But the idea that, so they're going to go, so he's got them going 5-12 next year.
I guess.
Is that right? That's amazing. it's so awesome. It is so awesomely overboard. Thank you, Jared. Thank you. I can't wait to talk to you today.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, if Ryan Tannehill comes out and plays like 2019 Ryan Tannehill, do you think the dark cloud around him will go away? This is coming from a texter on the text line.
So again, it's just like we were talking about, you know, if he comes out and looks more like 2019 or 2020 Tannehill, then they're going to win a lot of games. I mean, they're not going to go 5-12 next year. They're going to be a very good team. He's good. You know what? Now, if he does that, does then everyone have all this confidence going into a playoff game? Look, again, I would caution you for being too optimistic. I would say be skeptical, because there's just a totally different feel and a totally different psychological situation in a playoff game, and especially if you're him and you know exactly what everyone has been saying and talking about and how – really, the conversation around you and the feeling about you outside that building, at least, has changed. And if we're being realistic, there is no way that hasn't changed some internally, too. Of course it has. So that's a lot to overcome in a postseason game. But if he plays like that next year, they're going to be in good position. They're going to have a home playoff game, at least one. And we'll see. It's going to be, I mean, it's the story of the season, of course, is, you know, can he come back from that? And if you as a Titans fan are disappointed that there wasn't something else done at quarterback, I get it. But again, you had to know from the very moment he threw that third pick and you knew he had just lost you the playoff game, you had to pretty much know that he was going to be your quarterback next season.
Let's go back to the text line. Henry texting in says, I, for one, am really excited to see the Titans defensive front return. They seem to be vibing. Hopefully they can get more turnovers so that when Tannehill makes mistakes, at least you can get the ball back quicker. This is coming from Henry on the text line. So anticipating mistakes by Tannehill, defense can snatch the ball right back. I like it.
There you go. It's like a pressing defense in basketball. You turn it over, you just get the, you trap them and get the ball right back.
That's right.
All those picks Tannehill's going to throw. No, look, it's – and again, it is not just on him. It's a huge year for Todd Downing.
Huge year. No question about it. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got a texture that says, since Jared thinks the Titans will go 5-12 this season, if they go over 5 wins, they should have to change the name of the show to Crybaby and Company for one day. Crybaby and Company. It's not as good as Tannehill Tattletales.
I think Tannehill Tattletales should be the show. But what about Crybaby and Caroline? Can we at least do Crybaby and Caroline? We're trying to get Caroline's name on the show.
Well, that and your, I mean, alliteration there too is always good. It's good right. stuff.
You got alliteration either way. Yes.
I like it. I'm all for it.
Five
we may
and
have discovered something.
5-12.
Fantastic. Oh boy. I mean, fantastic. I guess anything's possible.
Sure. Crazier things have happened.
I got a texture that says, y'all are giving Stillman 4 more hours of Boohoo Tannehill cruise shows. Maybe so. Maybe he goes back there today.
What is the pivot now?
I don't know.
Like, where do you go?
I mean, Rodgers
goes from here.
Rodgers hadn't signed yet. Contract's not done.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point.
Drafting a QB.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, maybe so.
Deshaun Watson.
Joe, very quickly before we get to Mykal Granlund coming up here in just a few minutes. You know, we had Rick Barnes on yesterday. He had some wonderful things to say about Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale is pretty good news yesterday, and it looks like the scans have come back and no visible signs of cancer at the moment. So I don't know that it means he's totally out of the woods, but really good news yesterday on the Diggy V front when it comes to his scans he got back that Rick Barnes was talking about.
Amazing stuff. The best news. Actually, so right after we talked, as we were talking to Rick, I texted Dick Vitale yesterday and just said, hey, you know, we have Rick Barnes on right now. He's saying all this stuff. And then Dick, who, you know, kind of busy, probably getting a million texts, but he sent me like all these different stories that have been written in the last couple weeks. Said, thought you'd like to see these. Media has been so kind, all caps to me. This has been the toughest 6 months of my life. And then basically later, once that news came out, we were all reacting on Twitter. I just sent him a whole bunch of exclamation points to celebrate. And you know, it's just, it's amazing news. Obviously it doesn't mean he's out of the woods, but it's the best possible news you could have. And I thought what Rick said yesterday about him was so true. Look, he's, first of all, he's as much college basketball as anybody. You think about Rick Barnes in the 80s and their Midnight Madness is people doing Dick Vitale impersonations. I mean, I've been saying awesome baby since like 1984. Okay. It's like 40 years of this. He's again, this is going back to me as a student, always gracious with his time to people. Incredible. And he's made his life's mission fighting pediatric cancer, which I can't really think of like a more worthwhile mission. And I need to Google this now to get the number, but you know, he's raised incredible amounts of money. They've made huge strides because of this. And you know, the legacy is in place, but we need more Dick Vitale. I so badly want to see him, you know, get all the way through this and be back on a sideline next season. But it's fantastic news. It really is. And, yep. You know, I think it's, talk about someone who is positive and who has positivity in his life. And I think that's a big weapon in this fight. I know we had to go to break. I'll find the number that he's raised. It's an absurd amount of money raised.
Yep. And really good news on that front yesterday. When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators forward Mykal Granlund. We'll get his thoughts on a massive win last night for the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.